each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Welcome,
Tony,
Father.
Aaron.
Just Father
flew
made
in.
It.
I just came out of a funeral.
It's just flew in.
Flying in always.
Wow.
It's been one of those days. Where's your setup?
I didn't bring it, Father. I should have, right?
You should have, yeah. It was very nice.
Thank
so
you.
So happy Feast of Our Lady
yes.
Guadalupe,
happy
everybody.
Happy Feast Day.
You guys were all there at the Mass this
yep.
morning?
Yes, beautiful. It was beautiful.
I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you sing.
Father, you know,
man,
It was beautiful. Thanks to Our Lady's intercession. You know how I'm not a morning person. And it's hard to get up in the morning and sing because the voice is all hoarse, you know.
But it was so beautiful. How'd you do it?
Our Lady, she was interceding for us.
I was thinking the same thing because I got up at 3:30 and
my goodness.
So we start at 5 with the Las Mañanitas, the serenading
of
Our Lady.
Our Lady.
And we started last year doing the Mass also in the morning. We have a Mass also in the evening, but. Thank you, Sylvia. You're a saint.
The first time I see Sylvia.
I've never met her.
So this is Sylvia.
This is Christina.
Nice to meet you.
Christina.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens behind the scenes.
Sorry, Father, I've interrupted you.
But the
take the opportunity.
Yeah, what was I saying?
You get up at three o'clock today.
Well, today, because at 3:30 I got up, but because I wanted to be wide awake by the time we go into the Mass at 5 and then make these preparations, last minute preparations and all that. But even so, it's so hard to talk that early. So the 7 o'clock Mass on Sunday is a hard Mass for me because it's early in the morning. I'm up early, but
you're a morning person too, Father.
I am.
I have to be.
But not for talking or singing.
And I'm not a singer as it is. But
now you sing pretty good. Father.
Well, that's why I said that because I wanted you to sing. But the
I know the trick already.
But it yeah right.
But
the choir. You guys just do such a beautiful job.
Oh, thank you, Father.
I said, and I was kind of joking. And not joking on Sunday because I went in, they were practicing after the 12 o'clock Mass, the noon Mass, but they all sang at the noon Mass.
Yes.
So I kind of, why do I always say kind of?
It's my fault because I said that.
But the point is that, you know.
I take full responsibility.
I wanted to reprimand them, you know, for, you know, saying that, you know, they got to do much better on.
I'm so disappointed you could do better.
You could do better, you know.
And I knew you were joking because
right.
I know
most
who you
people
are.
Don't,
but they did it. They were taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I saw the look on their faces.
Aww.
I'm like, oh.
But I told him, of course. But then I said, why couldn't we have everybody every Sunday, that whole group? Because they are so good.
Yeah. Yes,
so good.
It was a nice,
it was beautiful,
group.
So beautiful.
We work very well together.
You do.
Yeah,
you do.
We do.
And what's nice is it's just a crown. Isn't that a beautiful crown?
It's a gorgeous, beautiful crown.
Because you were there, Tony, this morning,
yes.
right?
Yeah, it's nice.
It's so appropriate.
Yeah.
Fit for a queen.
How are you going to...
Well, that's Wojtek's job.
Oh, okay.
I just talked to him.
So
he's expecting to have it up by Christmas.
Yeah,
wow.
I can believe
okay.
So it's a crown. It's just like at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. They've got the image, and then mm-hmm. over the image they've got this crown. Mm-hmm. Just like Our Lady of Częstochowa has a crown.
That's what I saw, yes.
And so he's going to work it out so that it's a free, it'll be a, because the image is a flat image, just like the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa.
So it'll have to kind of hang there.
It'll hang over the, above the image, yeah.
That's going to look
beautiful. But really beautiful. It's a, it was a gift.
Wow.
And very, very nice. So
I saw it has the, just like Our Lady of Częstochowa, the, there's precious stones in there, too.
Yeah,
it's
right,
beautiful.
Too. Yeah. So I'm really happy about that. But we've been going. So I had we had the Mass, Las Mañanitas, and the Mass. Then I had the children's two classes of confessions. I'm doing confessions all week for the students. Then after that, I had the children's confessions. They came at 8 o'clock. And then from there, went right into a funeral, and I'm just coming right off the funeral. So it's...
It's like a marathon.
You know the family. You know this family.
I must know the family. Yes.
So, a good man. And his name, Guadalupe.
Jose Guadalupe.
Jose Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
Aramillo.
Aramillo. I do know the family, yes.
And very nice people. Maria Luz, the wife, and they're on their way to the cemetery now. The deacon's going. Very nice people, and I've known them since I came here, and then they moved out of the neighborhood, but they're back from time to time. And
you said, Father, he would have been here for the night because they were always
He's
here.
He's deeply devoted to Our Lady Guadalupe and to the Immaculate Conception as well. It's the same Mother of God, but those are two big feast days for him. And he was just in Mexico this past summer, and I don't remember the name of the... did I bring it down here? No, but it's our El Señor de Campucho or Compacho.
Campeche is a place in Mexico.
El Señor de Campeche.
De Campeche.
Is that in Guanajuato?
I don't know where Campeche is. I don't know which state it is. I have to check that.
Anyway, because I think they're from Guanajuato. I think. I might be mistaken. And that's right by Michoacán, isn't it? Doesn't that border Michoacán? Guanajuato,
yes. It borders Michoacán and Jalisco. Jalisco, Guanajuato, and Michoacán are the two states there. Yeah. Very colonial, it says here on campuses. It's a city, a city port on the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh.
Campeche. Yes.
So that wouldn't be in Guanajuato.
Then it's separate.
What's the state? What state is that?
Let's see.
It's a geography test.
Yes, it is. I should know this.
He would know it better than me, though.
Mexico has how many states?
Oh, it's huge.
Anyway.
What state? Yeah.
Well, while you're looking...
Work on that.
We're going to pray. We should pray. Right, don't you think?
Yes, we need prayer.
We need a prayer.
More than ever now.
For sure, for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Juan Diego,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So yes, today is a feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. What do you think? You know, this is so we have the Mass now. We've done the last 2 years. You've been coming to Tony for many, many years. It used to be, and it was. What was nice about it, when we had the neighborhood, when we had this 85% Mexican, Latinos, Hispanic a community, it was really almost it was an all-day celebration, because we'd have the Las Mañanitas, where it would be just simply serenading Our Lady, people bringing the flowers. And then we would always we haven't had this since the pandemic, but the reenactment of the drama of the apparitions, right, and the dancing and all that in the school.
Yes.
And then at the end of the day, we would have the big mass. Mm-hmm. Now, because the reason why we brought the mass into the morning is because people live far away. So it's even the you people in the choir, I mean, Christina's just a block away.
Right,
but
here.
But the, everybody else set up and then have to go back, then come, back. It makes it hard. And
But you know, Father, I was thinking about this just today.
Yes.
I don't remember the year to year, but I love the Mass.
Okay, what I wanted to know. I mean, of course I love the Mass. But,
from that, I mean, the music, serenade is beautiful too. But even when we didn't have the Mass, I want, and maybe it's just me, I hope it's not just me, but you don't want to leave. There's something about this.
Right.
It's so beautiful that the Mass is just a genuine. It's like the next step, I think, that should be in the morning. I mean,
so that's good. I wanted to hear
the Mass
that.
In the
I
morning.
Do too. All right, that's what I want to hear. Yeah.
It's more, it's logical. It helped because the people, again, the choir, they all live way south, way south. And it's hard for them to come back in the evening, especially in the evening when you're the rush hour.
Right.
People are coming out of work, school. It's very challenging.
Catching that beauty.
But
that,
in the morning, with the Mass, the singing and the Mass, I think it works out in the morning.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because I know that it was nice just to have that hour of just this hour and a half of just mm-hmm. serenading and mm-hmm. people coming. But it really, and you know, I was thinking about this, and I've got it here. I've got it in Spanish, and so let me just see if I can, in a smooth way, kind of translate it. Because it really, for me, this is what's key to the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe is something that I'll speak about, and I probably have spoken about it before, but I thought about it again, and even at the funeral, I actually went back to this because it kind of put things
it's long lasting, the experience from the morning just it. This is the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. That's what I...
One, yeah.
Yeah, not to interrupt, but I know what you're...
Sure. But we take one of the readings from the book of Revelation, the heavens opened, and a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant with child and cried out in a loud voice, cried out in a loud voice with the pain of labor as she was giving birth to her son. That's not the exact translation in English, but I'm translating it from the Spanish. Alumbramiento. What is alumbramiento? Angustia del alumbramiento.
Well, alumbramiento, alumbrar is to, you know, when you place the light, alumbrar.
Illuminate,
there you go. Alumbramiento.
Okay.
To illuminate, yeah.
So, in any case, this powerful woman reemerges in history in a very specific place, in a manner mm-hmm. that is totally unique when in 1531, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to the humble Indian, St. Juan Diego. And it was through this image, this sacred image that she left of herself that would inspire the conversion, immediate conversion, of innumerable, we're talking about millions upon millions, about 9 million to 11 million, I heard, Indians to the Catholic faith. Her request that a temple be built, in essence, was her request to bring Bethlehem to the New World. I say New World, quote unquote, because it, we call it the New World, but was her request was to bring Bethlehem to the New World, where her son would be born and grow in the hearts of the people and in the heart of the Americas.
And also that in this place, there would be the perpetuation of the Messianic hour, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the perpetuation of the holy sacrifice of our redemption until Jesus comes at the end of time. This is a very important point for me, and that's why having the Mass mm-hmm. within the serenade is really beautiful. And so we rejoice in a perpetual way because Jesus Christ, born of woman in the weakness of our flesh, has redeemed us and sent us as our Lord, as the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady Guadalupe, sent St. Juan Diego to proclaim what we've seen and what we've heard, God in the midst of his people. And so, as with Juan Diego and John the Baptist, we give testimony to the light, to the light. So in the Catholic tradition, all the saints are represented artistically with halos of light. When Our Lady appeared, again extrapolating from the book of Revelation, but this image as she appeared on the hill of Tepeyac, she was surrounded in light, clothed in the light, just as the scripture says. The light, it's not the light of the saints, and the light of the that surrounded Our Lady Guadalupe. That light is a reflection. It's not their light.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reflection of God, a sign that she and they, the saints, had given God the full possession of their lives. That's what makes a saint a saint. And so, inspired in the life of Christ, our lives must be a witness before the world that no matter how dark the dark may be, the light of God is all the more bright. Is much more. So we're in the search for God. As we're in the search for God, we never leave. Forget the question posed to Jesus. Are you the one? Or is there another that we must, to whom we must, to whom we must seek? I'm translating from Spanish in here. Are you the one? This is coming out of Scripture, though. Eres tú o debemos buscar a otro?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the one, or must we look for another? And Jesus responded. He says, "I am, and blessed he." Who que no se siente defraudado por mí, who's not ashamed of me, right?
Uh-huh. Or disappointed.
Disappointed.
Yeah,
that you not be disappointed. Yeah. That yes, I am he.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one. There is no other. The humility, is the key to allow Christ possession of our lives, and the cause, and therefore the cause of our joy. We diminish, we decrease, that he increase. We lose ourselves, that he be found. We die to ourselves,
that he live. Again, this is taking from scripture, right? Because Jesus says, die to yourself in order to live. What you live when you find Christ, you die to yourself in order to find the Lord, and in him you have life. Lose yourself so you find yourself. Well, you lose yourself to find Christ, and in Christ you find yourself. So when we are confronted with trials and tribulations in this life, we have to remember the words of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who said, am I not here? Who is your mother? Who am your mother?
I am your mother. Yeah.
No estoy yo aquí, que soy tu madre. So when we are, you know, dealing with trials and tribulations, and we're put to the test, whatever, you know, the sufferings of life, we have to remember the words of Our Lady as she spoke from the Hill of Tepeyac. Am I not here, your mother? The Mother of God from the Hill of Tepeyac, she said again, I want a temple built here to alleviate or to soften the afflictions and the stress of my children in order to console them. So what happens in the temple? But in the temple, at the center of the sanctuary, at the heart of the sanctuary is a Mass, the Holy Mass, mm-hmm. the Holy Sacrifice. So even though we suffer trials of faith, anguish in this life, even though we live in the midst of many, many sufferings, the sufferings of this world, we don't lose our joy. Our joy is a tranquil and a serene joy. It's not superficial, not artificial. It's a joy that can be felt, experienced in tranquility and serenity in the midst of sufferings. When we put confidence in the words of the Mother of God, that for those who love God, all things work for the good. So history is a testament, a witness to this truth. Love simply, I mean, love siempre, I was going to say.
Siempre.
Love always mm-hmm. wins out. Mm-hmm. Love always wins out, and in the end, love wins out. Aguijón. What is el aguijón? Ha sido quitado de la muerte. Oh, he takes the sting out of death.
Yeah, sting out of death.
Even the sting is taken out of death, and eventually, we pass through into the fullness of life. Into the company of God, and our Blessed Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our ancestors, those who died in the grace of God. So you see how this was appropriate for the funeral today too, you know, contemplate to reflect on the reality that there are more. As I always say, more people waiting for us on the other side than those left behind. But what's important is that we have to keep faith. We have to remain in God's grace. And just the beauty of our faith is just, it's phenomenal, you know, that we're part of this. And that's what was really reflected this morning, just when we celebrate the feast of Our Lady Guadalupe and the serenade, this is our mother. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll stop there and take a break and come back. But just the fact, just, you know, I find that so hard to understand how Christians can live Christianity without having Our Lady in a very prominent place in their lives or in the life of an ecclesial community. You know, Christians who feel like somehow
we're not talking about Catholics or the church with a big C, Orthodox, but it's from the Protestant Reformation, where there was this kind of this allergic reaction to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that somehow if we put focus on her, we're taking something away from her son. And on the contrary, we say, you know, the more we love the mother, the more we will be loved by her son. And that just seems commonsensical, doesn't it?
It does.
So we'll take a break. We'll come back. And I want to go to, don't let me forget this, the woman who shouts from the crowd, "Blessed the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you," in the presence of Jesus. She made that cry from the crowd. All right, everybody, don't go away. We will be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarini, host of The Doctor Is In. A blessed Advent to you leading up to Christmas time. The greatest story ever told. The God of the universe becomes a baby, one of us. Look forward to that one. Don't get caught up in all the Christmas stuff without paying attention to the greatest story ever told.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm losing my voice because I've been talking all morning.
Since you were singing.
Since 5, I wasn't singing. No. I would love to sing at that. We weren't trained in singing, but you can compliment my voice if you want.
No, Christina, seriously,
Father. Well, you have a good voice.
I can't lie to you.
No,
I can't lie to a person.
Listen, you're not lying. You're just being kind. This morning I've been going, like I said, from Lesson Magnanimitas, the Mass, to the confessions, to the funeral, and then right into the radio, so I can feel my voice is just kind of tiring out. But I do want to, in the gospel, Jesus, because Our Lady and the Blessed Mother is not frozen in the pages of the sacred scriptures. I've said so often that just as with her son, they're still very much in our midst, and we've got to heed the call. The Blessed Mother lives to do the will of God. You know, again, the light, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, the crown of 12 stars. The crown of 12 stars shows her or presents her as the bridge between the old and the new covenant. The 12 tribes of Israel of the old covenant will give way to the 12 apostles, and the church is built on the pillar of the 12 apostles. And so Mary is the bridge. She's Mother Israel, Daughter Zion, Mother Church. Again, from the cross, you know, Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother." We talked about that the other day on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. But this idea that that somehow we have to diminish her place in the life of the church, honor her because she was a mother of God. But see, we say mother of God because Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some find that offensive because, God didn't have a mother. Of course, God had a mother because Jesus is God who comes to us in the flesh. And he took his life from his mother. The only DNA he had was that of his mother. You know, so if you see him, you had to see her. You know, they must have had. You'd love to. We'll see
features.
One day. We'll see.
The features.
It's funny too, because I used to think And this is wrong thinking that Jesus, well, Jesus was just like us. Jesus knew, you know, when he lived here on earth, he knew everything. He knows how I don't know if I'm going to say this the right way. I'm tired. I'm not thinking. But I believe that, okay, yeah, he's my pal. He's my buddy. But that's not, he's my God.
My God, right.
You know, and it took me a while.
My Lord and my God.
Right.
St. Thomas.
It took me a while to understand he knows of me because he's my God.
Right.
He took my sins to himself.
Right.
He knew not sin. He took them to himself. And when I started realizing that, and it changed.
That is a, hold on to that for a moment. Let me just, because I want to finish this other thought.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I want to come back to that because I find that so interesting. We're talking about how we are, who we are in relationship to Christ. And I want to come back to that. But when Jesus was speaking, well, first of all, you know, in the visitation, so after the Annunciation, where Mary is announced that she is the mother of God, this is a woman from Genesis after the fall, which gave birth to sin and death, original sin that brought disorder and destruction, sin and death, evil, violence into the world, that this woman would emerge in history and her offspring would crush the head of the serpent, because the serpent who tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve. And because, again, love is not, we're not, love would not be love if we were forced to love. It requires a response of love to love.
Love is given freely. It's not forced.
It's not forced. And so in the Annunciation, when Our Lady gave her consent, she was predestined by God, immaculately conceived, in view of his Son, God the Father, in view of his Son. He needed a perfect channel by which he would enter into the world, because sin is an impediment, a barrier. So you recall, we talked about this the other day, the greeting, Hail, Kikari Tomene, in you, woman, there is no impediment, there is no barrier, there is no obstacle. You are full of grace. You can receive the fullness of grace, which is the fullness of God. And so she conceives by the Holy Spirit, because she gave her consent. How can this be? I do not know man, which meant that she intended to be perpetually virgin, and Joseph too. But again, all this is by the grace of God, because this is how God planted the seed in their lives for this purpose of the incarnation, God coming to us in the flesh. And so this is not strange thinking. People do live this way today. Mm-hmm. People do give themselves over to God completely and choose a life of virginity and chastity, which we never talk about. You know, that's the strange thing about this world we're living in today. But anyway, that's a whole other thing, right? And it was announced to Mary of Nazareth, the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God, that her cousin Elizabeth has also in her old age, because Mary was young. Mary was about 15 years old. I believe she was about 15. But her cousin Elizabeth, who was an older woman who had been barren, couldn't conceive, that she too would conceive by the natural means. Because when Mary said, well, how can this come about since I know not man? And the angel said that the cloud of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and hence you will conceive and by the Spirit and the child to be born. The child that to be conceived would be the Son of God. And your kinswoman, Elizabeth, has in her old age conceived a son. Of course, she conceived in a natural way. She was married to Zacharias, and the miracle was that she who had been barren conceives in her old age. She conceives in her womb John the Baptist. And so Mary went to Elizabeth, to her kinswoman, to Ein Kerem,
So she made quite a trip, you know, from Nazareth all the way down to Ein Kerem near Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem. We were there. Were you there with us?
Yes, we I remember.
There. Yeah. Yes. That's why we had to walk up that steep hill.
Yeah, we
I
were
think.
Huffing and puffing.
beautiful little place.
It is.
But the and when she went, Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, a baby leaped for joy in my womb." This idea of the womb, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, just the if you through scripture, the womb is a sanctuary where life is being formed. Life is conceived. It is life. And in being formed in the sanctuary, the womb before a child sees the light of day. So it just is appalling to me that there can be such animosity and violence and anger against, you know, the defense of a conceived child, and now even up to the time of birth, it's so demonic, so evil, but then Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled." Now later in Luke's gospel, Jesus is speaking to a crowd. And in the crowd, a woman cried out, "Blessed the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus says, "No, rather blessed are those who hear the word of God, who hear the word of God and keep it." And it was told to me by a non-Catholic, you know, many, many, many years ago, I think when I was in high school, that, you know, you people, you Catholics, you know, you put Mary on a pedestal and all that, and, you know, Jesus, you know, you got to go to that scripture. He says, no. When that woman said, "Blessed the womb that bore you, the breast that nourished you," and he says, no, blessed those who hear the word of God and keep it. And I thought, you know, do you hear what you're saying? Of course, she's blessed because she gave birth to Jesus. She bore him in her womb and she nursed him and raised him. Of course she's blessed. This is God who has come to us in the flesh, but the Lord is making a very important point. Of course she's blessed, but rather blessed because she heard the word of God and she kept it. And the point is, you got to do the same. You imitate my mother, you know? Anyway.
You know, Father, I always think of why when the Protestants that they have an issue with Mary, God the Father chose her. So who are we to say no? And how can we say that we love Jesus and not love his mother? I mean, how does that make?
Well,
does he feel?
They would say, well, it's not that we don't love her, but we, you know, we don't want to give her the same, put her on the same, at the same level mm-hmm. of Jesus. Well, you know, it's like they're two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm.
It's
his mother. It's a family.
It's a family.
You're not taking. She's not God.
No.
We don't worship her as we worship God. We venerate her.
Sure.
And she is the queen of all saints, the highest apart from God. She is the greatest of all God's creatures, and she lives to this day. She lives and will live unto eternity, but lives because we're still in the here and now of the reality of our life journey. We're not, like I was telling the people at the funeral, you know, those who die, they really, do they really experience death? I mean, it's just a passover from this life into the next, wherever that will be, you know, depending on how we live our lives. But it's, they have the experience, they don't have the experience of death, maybe a death to this world, but life unto another dimension. But we experience a death because we're still here. We're
mm-hmm.
still in the battle, and so it's always going to be a mystery. And I forgot what point I was going to make there. But that she lives as long as we're in the battle, you know, as long as we're the church militant in the battle, fighting the good fight in the valley of tears, she lives to do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she'll always live to do the will of God.
And she always points us to her son. Again, we said that the other day.
Through her immaculate heart, mm-hmm. into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus mm-hmm. to the Father.
Yes.
Because really, all everything is directed to the Father. As Jesus, Jesus would say, like to the young man, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, and that's your Father in heaven, because the Lord hasn't revealed his messianic identity. And so he says he's pointing beyond himself to the Father. So we all have to point beyond ourselves to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so one God, three persons and one God. We're monotheistic. So Jesus says, why do you call me good? So only one who is good, and that's your Father in heaven. Now, have you obeyed the commandments? And the young man said, yes. He said, good. That's great. And I love that because it's the young man is saying, well, of course. You know, why would you ask? It's a crazy question because, yes, of course, we keep the commandments. I mean, would that be the response today? But, and Jesus said, okay, that's good. But I want you to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And he went away sad. He had many possessions. And the Lord looked on him lovingly because eventually he's going to come because we take nothing with us at the end of all things. But, you know, so keep the commandments. And what he's asking is, I want you to give me your life. Surrender to me your life. You know, hold nothing back. And so that's, but the point is that that the Blessed Virgin Mary is a mother, and she's a mother who lives to do the will of God, the will of her Son, and the fact that God entrusted himself to her in the fragility of a child, you know, to the sacred womb of the Holy Mother, and that she, yes, bore him, nursed him, raised him. I mean, my gosh, it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So I think the Holy Father actually said this. He said, those who do not have Mary are like orphans. Mm-hmm. Those who do not have Mary in their lives are like orphans, Christians who are orphaned. Yeah. You know, she's our mother. She's our mother. And thank God for that.
Yes.
We need a mother. And again, the family, mother, father, Jesus. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break, and that brings me back to your question, mm-hmm. Tony. So don't let me forget about that, because who are we in relation to her Son, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, Redeemer? We'll be right back. Don't go away. And we'll wrap up with that, answering that question. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know there was a time when St. Nicholas wasn't so jolly? It was in 325 AD when the bishops gathered in Nicaea for the first ecumenical council. That council was called to answer the false teachings of a priest named Arius. He wrongly taught that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. He even sang a song with the words, "There was a time when he, Christ, was not." So when Arius repeated those lyrics to the council fathers, I got a little hot under my clerical collar, and I angrily walked up and slapped Arius right in the face. Everyone was shocked. But after regaining my composure, I rejoined the other bishops to approve the Nicene Creed, the same creed that defends the divinity of Christ to this very day. So if you think you're not the stuff saints are made of, just remember, I didn't become jolly old Saint Nick overnight. Christ is born, glorify him.
We are the students of St. Stan Zakowska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer-board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our podcast app. This position would be a worthy opportunity if you're retired and where you can make a difference. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are middays, Monday through Friday. Email a letter telling us about yourself to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We'll wrap up on... okay, so let's talk about her son, the mother of God. Her son is God. I just, again, just think about that. God entrusted himself to Mary of Nazareth, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of God. Just, it's amazing. And, but, so who is he in relation to us? And I want to go back to what Tony was saying, because I do find it very, very interesting. And I've brought this up before as well, because we can say, okay, Jesus is, so before the great grand gift of salvation from the cross, Jesus entrusted his mother to us. Woman, behold your children. This is behold your son, John the Baptist. Represents all the disciples.
Or John the disciple. Oh, yeah. That's
John. I mean, John the,
yeah,
John
the disciple.
Yeah. You can tell. I'm kind of zoning out.
John the beloved disciple.
The beloved disciple. John the apostle is at the foot of the cross. So the only apostle that went to the cross. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And again, as I've mentioned so many times, the fulfillment of the prophecy is fulfilled. The prophet Isaiah, that mother Israel, daughter Zion, in a moment's time would suffer the pain of labor and give birth to children she never conceived. She's there participating in the redemptive work of her son and giving birth to her children. Children she never conceived were born from the blood of the cross. And so she's our mother. And John took her into her home just as a church takes Mary into its home. Father, mother, God the Father, Mary our mother, Jesus our brother. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. His only begotten Son, but to adopt us, to bring us into this family. And so he is our brother. So we can think of Jesus as our brother. Mary our mother, God the Father, our Father. We're also disciples. He's our teacher. He's the supreme master, teacher, rabbi. We are disciples, students. We are servants of the Lord. We serve Christ. Jesus said in the Last Supper, after the Last Supper, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends. So we are friends of the Lord. Brother, servants, students, disciples, emissaries were sent to proclaim, to give witness. We are his friends. But at the same time, he is God. And what I find so fascinating is the beloved disciple, the beloved apostle John, who was the youngest, was very, very close to Jesus, would rest his head into the heart of Jesus at the Last Supper. You know, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they all said, everybody looked to John and said, ask him, because John had the ear of Jesus. He was very close to Jesus. And so he had that, and any time to the top of Mount Tabor for the Transfiguration, into the Garden of Gethsemane, at the Last Supper, into the home of the Roman soldier whose daughter was dying at Tabitha, but anyway, John was always kept very close to Jesus, and yet, in the book of Revelation, some will argue that it wasn't John who wrote the book, but I'm just saying everything gels together, the Gospel of John, the letters of St. John, the book of Revelation. But John opens the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. He's the only apostle that wasn't crucified or wasn't martyred. He's the only one that went to the cross. He was there with the Blessed Mother. And in the book of Revelation, he opens the book, and he has an appearance. He has this appearance of Jesus, who's risen and has returned to the Father, ascended. And it's interesting because John, when Jesus appeared to him, now you think about it, you know, he had this intimacy with the Lord, this very closeness to Christ, and yet in this appearance of our Lord to John, which would begin the beginning of the writing of the book of Revelation, this grand mystical experience. But when he appears to John, John writes, "I fell down as though dead in the presence of the majesty," because he uses all this cryptic language, these metaphors that are used to describe the appearance of Jesus. But he says, I felt down as though dead. And he said, "Fear not, it is I, get up." I believe those are the words. But the point is, I guess what I'm trying to say as we end the show, is brother, servant, disciple, friend, but he is God. And so there's this, how can I say it? We can't, I'll go back to what you said. He's not just my buddy or my pal. He's much more.
Yeah.
And so there's God is, we can't fully comprehend God, and God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. God is above us and beyond us. That's why we always say we're in this quest for God. We've seen the face of God in Jesus, and we're called to intimacy with the Lord, to walk in friendship with God. And yet, the beginning of wisdom is a fear of God, reverence,
yes,
that is due to God. Our, you know, so even the mass can't morph into a happy meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kumbaya,
mm-hmm,
you know, Jesus is my friend, my buddy, my pal, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But at the name of Jesus, as Scripture says, at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend. All nations will come to know on that great and terrible day, the coming of the Son of Man, when Jesus comes, and that's certainly... Advent is an anticipation, a reminder that he came in the fragility of a child, in peace, the Prince of Peace. At the end of all things, there's going to be this cosmic upheaval, and the heavens and the earth will pass away, and God will come, Jesus will come in glory and might, that great and terrible day. But let it be a day of peace for those who live in him, with him, for him, through him, to the Father. Through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus to the Father. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaning.